Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pixel Chicken Team Up. This is your host, Stryker, and with me I have Johnny, and I have the return of the prodigal son, Mr. Phil.
Phil, yeah.
What's up, guys?
Phil, we found you. It's good to have you back. Jack, if you're out there, thanks for joining us last week. Yeah. We wish you the best in all your future endeavors. We had to actually fire him.
Yeah.
He just got too crazy.
We sent him out of town.
Yeah, he started breaking stuff. It was crazy, Phil. You would have loved it. It was pretty fucking metal.
Metal.
Phil, so let me ask you this. How the hell are you?
Doing great.
How was your trip?
It was awesome. Yeah.
I informed everybody on the podcast last week on our episode one of our E3 show that, or two, maybe it was episode one, that a seagull had snatched a ice cream cone from your hand.
Yeah, so we were at the Bay Area. I was on one of the piers, just leaning over, looking at the, you know, sea lions, and most of my ice cream was gone, but there's plenty of cone left. It was waffle. It was chocolate, and out of nowhere, a fucking bird hits me, and I was like, "What was up with that?" And then I looked down the plastic thing that held my cone, and then there was nothing in there, nothing left but a crumb. Yeah. Then a person to the left of me went, "Did that happen?" And I was like, "Yeah, it happened."
It was a goddamn.
Let me tell you,
it was a goddamn
waffle cone.
Let me tell you something. That is the most like Phil thing to happen.
Yeah,
that's just the only way I can describe it. That's so Phil.
It was so
for
Phil
that to happen.
Yeah,
that would happen to nobody else.
Your life is a sitcom.
Yeah, a thousand people could do the same exact thing that you did and hold the ice cream cone in the same place. That wouldn't happen. You come to San Francisco and do that. And a bird snatcher.
That bird's like, "Oh, it's Phil. I gotta welcome him to San Francisco.
Welcome, bitch.
Watch her.
Welcome to my nightmare."
And you're so nice. You just don't deserve that.
Yeah.
Did you get another cone?
No, I was already satisfied. There was only some of the waffle left.
You should have just went to the place and been like, "Hey, give me just the cone."
I'm trying to portion my eat though.
Last podcast we took bets. Did you tear up? Did you cry or did you weep?
Neither. I just stood there with a blank face and then walked away.
Fuck, we were all wrong.
I was just like, so that happened. Yeah. And then I was done.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. That's good. You made it back safely. This was a family reunion, you said?
Yeah, it was family reunion.
Gotcha. We were a little unclear of the reason. You were very mysterious.
I didn't mean to be. I said it was a family vacation. I didn't really emphasize on what it was. It was just, I was visiting my grandparents. And my grandparents, they're always on the road. On my dad's side of the family, by the way. They're always on the road. So they were staying at my aunt's house. And then me and my dad and my sister, we stayed at their house as well.
Gotcha.
And, yeah. And,
yeah, it was a little weird when I asked you, like, where you were going. You, punched me in the face.
Yeah.
And I woke up like,
"Oh, come on, I didn't
later.
Even make a fist."
Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on.
It was a slap.
It's not even domestic abuse.
Well,
in the eyes of Allah, it's perfectly fine.
This is turning into a...
Go ahead and write the time for that.
So, good. So, did you play any games on this? You mentioned that you played some Destiny. Is that right?
I played some Destiny.
Is that your first time playing it?
It wasn't my first time playing it, no. It had been a long time. My dad got really into it, so he brought his Xbox One with him, and he's got like three characters that are all level 36, and they got a whole bunch of shit, bunch of fucking crazy-ass guns, and I got to have a lot of fun with those. And
cool.
It was cool. It's like just watching him play. I mean, he's not even in... You watch him on a map, and he's not even in a fight yet, and you can just tell he has a lot of experience. I mean, he's always very careful with every quarter he goes down, and he just dominates everything, kills everything in his sight. So, yeah, my dad's pretty good at Destiny.
Cool. Very cool. Well, cool. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, cool.
You're off to a good start with your vacation, your break from school. I like that. You just need to be careful with those ice cream cones.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Johnny, what about you? How the hell are you doing?
I'm doing...
I saw a lot of you last week.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest. It was cool.
It's like, oh, we're gonna go... Yeah. been busy. Been doing things. Been playing games. Got Shenmue going. Shenmue 1, and I got 2 ready to go.
Nice.
I played about an hour of it. Played a little Heroes of the Storm.
Sweet.
The Blizzard MOBA. I'm not a big MOBA guy. I mean, I played a lot of League of Legends when it was just coming out in high school with friends as they were getting into it.
Man, and it's crazy it's been that long.
I know, it's been forever. I played in beta when no one knew what it was, and I didn't like it. And StarCraft 2 came out, and I loved that. And I was like, the first time I'd ever gotten into any sort of competitive anything. And I was just really getting into tutorials on how to do multiplayer stuff. And I was hoping all my friends would follow, because it was such a well-made game. And
StarCraft 2?
Yeah. And gotcha. they weren't interested at all, because the night that I had a launch party for StarCraft 2, my friends that were, like, kind of into it were like, oh, hey, what's this League of Legends? And they downloaded it at my house, and they still play it, like, every day. Those to this day.
Bastards.
They're, like, high-ranked.
That's rude of them.
Yeah. I've never been a big MOBA guy. I played a lot, but this one's very casual. It's very party-based. Lots of different crazy maps. Some are really well-designed. Some are fun. They all have a goal or an objective to them. There's nobody gets left behind. It's just kind of like the Mario Party of MOBAs, where it's just simple, and it was good. Free. We got, like...
Free is good. Sometimes. Sometimes free sucks, actually.
Sometimes it ruins things, like favorite MMOs. People think that free-to-play it makes an MMO better. It doesn't. Fucks it! Sorry.
It doesn't inherently make it better. It can be done well.
One thing I forgot to mention, I've decided I'm going to watch Agent 47 Hitman.
The new one?
No, the old one?
No, the new one.
Oh.
No, I'm not going to watch it. It looks like shit.
Why are they making another one?
I don't know.
They already made one and it was butt.
It was this, butt, man.
This looks like the same fucking thing. Maybe they should have thought in the producer office, like, the last one was the same fucking movie with the same title and it was shit and nobody watched it. Let's do the same thing.
I just wish they would stop making video game movies altogether.
Yeah. I can see, like, the Ratchet and Clank movie trailer. It's like, cute.
Wait, there's going to be a Ratchet and Clank movie?
Yeah, but that's different because that's like...
animated movie.
Yeah,
that could be a DreamWorks thing.
And honestly, in terms of production quality, there's a trailer. It looks like a DreamWorks movie. It works great. That's the only time I've ever been like, oh, okay. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to see it, but cool. I mean, it could suck. They could write a bomb script like they always do.
But it would still be entertaining.
Unique, too.
Yeah.
It's not just, it's a video game. It's like, oh, it's an animated movie.
Yeah, and they're, like, doing their own take on the origin story and not, like, changing everything about it.
Yeah,
and not casting Mark Wahlberg as Max Payne. It's...
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to open that wound.
I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
That was good. Every single day.
How do they make movies? How do they fund movies like that? Like,
I don't know.
They get
Did
so
you hear that
forgotten?
For a long time, a lot of video game movies, they were connected to some sort of way for people to commit studios to avoid taxes.
Oh, so that was mostly the Uwe Boll scam?
Yeah, yeah. But Tomb Raider, the first Tomb Raider was a part of that too.
Really?
Yeah, it has. It's not directly related to Uwe Boll, but it's kind of the same premise.
There are
Everybody knows that the tax break that you get in the United States if you fund a video game themed movie.
Well, I think the tax break is that they're written and produced in like Eastern Europe, where everything's dirt cheap, which hence the Uwe Boll thing. But yeah, I hear that he's just a psychopath.
Well, he's pretty much. I mean, he's kind of a lunatic. Have you ever heard any interview with him where he just
and I thought it was funny. First of all, how does he like? He's made movies of games that aren't that popular, like.
Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Dark, Blood Rain, fucking Postal.
Hey, don't forget House of the Dead.
When he made a Far Cry movie, it was not a well-known series. I mean, it was pretty...
Far Cry 1, Postal was only known for it being, like, offensive. And Blood Rain, fucking who played that? That's like them saying, like, oh, we got a Legacy of Kain movie.
Hey, speaking of Blood Rain, you remember when I mentioned to you I had that demo disc for Xbox One? Blood Rain was on that, too. So it was Blood Rain, Splinter Cell, some racing game. Oh, I forget. Oh, Drake of the 99 Dragons. It's something else. I don't remember. So.
Yeah. Fuck.
But anyway, yeah. I was joking. I will not be seeing Agent 47 Hitman.
Oh, yeah. That's where we start. I was trying to think of where this conversation started. Begin.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in that. But speaking of movies, I guess we can just get into this the new stuff now. Now, E3 happened last week. This week, not quite as much newsworthy stuff. We're in that kind of post E3. Although there was a sweet, good game release this week. We'll talk more about that. But in movie news. They finally cast a Spider-Man.
Yes.
Who will make his first appearance in the Captain America...
I believe so.
Civil War.
Civil War, yes.
Yeah.
And the thing that's really great about it is that they're casting an actor that isn't in his late 20s this time around.
Yeah. They're actually casting a young teenager. Yeah.
So, Tom Holland is going to be Peter Parker's Spider-Man in the next film.
Mm-hmm.
It will be... on IMAX, it will be released July 28th, 2017, directed by John Watts. And
I like this kid's look, like as a Spider-Man. He's got mm-hmm. he's got the right look, in my opinion.
Let me see.
He's short. He's scrawny. He's got a good Peter Parker look.
Yeah.
Some of the guys they had like slated that might be cast, like some of the runner-ups, I guess. I did not like them.
They're not going for the 25-year-olds in high school look. For the
yeah, movie. Exactly. So that's cool. I don't know what else he's really been in, but I know he's an English actor. That doesn't matter. But he's in something, television, I don't know. Anyway, but that's cool, you know. I'm excited to see where that goes. It's just cool, it's
a miracle in and of itself that yeah. Sony is at least giving Marvel Studios creative reign. And I think it's going to be pretty effective this time around. And honestly, I wasn't as turned off by the recent Spider-Man movies as everyone else was, but I get it. And
I know a lot of people that liked them.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like the whole let's reboot it once and let's reboot it again because with rights issues.
Yeah, that does suck, but I think it can be. We're going to see a Spider-Man actually done by Marvel itself. So I'm eager, and hopefully it'll be the last time in a long time that Spider-Man will be rebooted.
To be honest, I really doubt they're gonna go over the origin stuff. They're probably just gonna
opening credits thing.
Yeah, so that's cool. So I wanted to talk about the big game that came out this week. We were all to differing levels excited about this game. I think all of us were pretty high on it, and that would be Batman Arkham Knight.
Hell yes.
And I just want to say that so I got this game on PC. It was a part of a promotion mm-hmm. for me. I've had it waiting to download for over a month now. Just sitting there staring at me in my Steam library. So I got it on PC. Phil, you got it on PS4, right?
Yes, I did.
And Johnny is getting it on PS4. Yeah. He doesn't have it yet.
Shipping tomorrow.
And I had some problems with the PS4. It wasn't really a big problem. I eventually found out that... So basically, I downloaded the CD on my PS4, but the game wasn't installing. So eventually, I just uninstalled the CD, put it back in, worked just fine. After that, it worked perfectly. But before then, I was getting pretty stressed out because I wanted to play it before this episode. And finally, I got it in at least an hour or so.
Cool. Yeah. So, I got it on PC, and I've played about... 3 hours, actually. 3 or 4 hours. But with that said, unfortunately, this has been another game in a long stream of games that has a very poor, on day one at least, PC port. And let me preface this by saying two things. The game is amazing.
Yes.
The game itself is fantastic. I love everything about it. But... And I also want to say that, and this is for the people that don't know, is supposedly that development for this game, well, this is confirmed, development for the Arkham Knight on PC was pushed off to a third party. There's rumors that that was the studio Iron Galaxy, who I actually really like because they make Killer Instinct Season 2. They took over that, and it's great and is very polished. There's also rumors, unconfirmed rumors, that they were dealing with a very, very short development cycle for this. Very short, like as in a few months, to port this game to PC. Now, the whole point of this that I just wanted to bring up is that, I mean, I feel like we're kind of beating a dead horse at this point. I can't count how many times since we've been doing this podcast that we've talked about a game coming out that is in horrible, like borderline unplayable condition. I mean, I'm playing the game and I'm experiencing some issues. My biggest problem with it is that it's capped at 30 frames per second. So by default, there's no way to get this game above 30 frames per second, even if you have a card that can handle that. Now, you can go into a config file and change that very easily.
Which causes more issues.
It's somewhat. It doesn't cause... In my experience, it didn't cause any issues inherently just from changing the frames per second. But the problem I have with the game is even when it was capped at 30 frames, I was seeing like these big dips in the frame rate. So like I'd be playing and I'd get in the Batmobile and it would dip like down into the 40s or 30s.
Just bought a new card for Witcher 3.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a 980. My card it's a high-end card. It's now basically two cards away from a Titan.
Yeah.
As far as the specs go, so this so my experience with it has been pretty good, but I have to say that for me personally, having an inconsistent frame rate in a game, like having those dips, I hate it. It just immediately takes me out of the experience and makes it hard to focus on the game as a game and just enjoy it for what it is, because it just, like, as soon as that happens, I'm just completely not immersed anymore in the game. I mean, it just sucks me right out. And I would have rather even when it was capped at 30, when I had it all at defaults, I was still experiencing like these random dips in frame rate. And that kind of stuff is just inexcusable, especially when you take into account that my card, is a higher end card, and there's people that are playing this game on like
average person.
Right, the average person is playing this game on like a mid-range card, which meets the requirements, and they're experiencing these issues as well. And as far as an update on this goes, they came out with a update today, like from the, I don't know if it was like from Rocksteady or the publishers. They came out with one like the day it was released and said, we're aware, you know, we'll figure it out. Now they came out with one today, and it basically just said, lower your settings.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, it was very dodgy and very, it was passing off the responsibility of these problems to your hardware. It was passing it off to, like, their third-party developer. It was passing it off to the manufacturers of the cards. I mean, they're like placing the blame on anybody but themselves. And the other thing that pisses me off about these issues, whenever they come out, they release these statements and make it sound like it's like an edge case. Like it's like a small portion of the community that's experiencing these issues, which is complete bullshit. It's the fact is just that there's a small portion of the community that's vocal about it, but you can't play this game and not experience these.
Yeah,
it's just a poorly optimized game.
PC gamers are getting screwed this week.
Yeah,
well, PC gamers are always bitching, so this is why I think this is a tragedy, is because it's a legitimate problem, and it's like, what the fuck, Rocksteady or Warner Brothers, mostly. I'm sure that they're the
ones. Oh, I'm sure they're completely responsible.
Because this isn't the first time Warner Brothers has fucked up a PC optimization.
Mortal Kombat X
was, yeah, apparently terrible.
Also, now Mortal Kombat X also pushed off to a third party.
Yeah, why are they doing that? They, I feel like making a PC port is they figured that out. Like,
yeah,
that seems like it's easy to do. They must not be allocating enough time or something, but it's really bitten them in the butt. And if you look on Metacritic, even the non-PC user reviews are getting slammed because, oh, the PC gamers don't have it working.
Which
is stupid. But at the same time, so it's like, they pissed off PC gamers, and PC gamers are fucking annoying. So it's like, I know it's a legitimate problem, but I just see this as a double problem because it landed in the wrong feel. Like it just, oh no. It's like
you picked the wrong game to.
Yeah, well, it's a big AAA game. And so a bunch of, even journalists, a bunch of people, there's this anti pre-order movement going around because that's what we do in the game industry now. We focus on movements like we're fucking PETA or something. But. There's like this, remember, don't pre-order this
year. I really
year.
Like what you say.
And, so it's like, you know, it's the newest outrage is you're pre-ordering broken games, devs are releasing games in a broken state. But that's kind of always existed, you know, there have been occasional games that have released in poor state, and now we have better ways of updating them. But this is especially bad, because this is a single-player game. We've been releasing single-player games in broken states. Now, if there's a game that releases multiplayer and the multiplayer's messed up on day one...
Like the netcode or something like that. The servers, you know, can't handle
fighting
it.
Fighting game, shooter, multiplayer, have problems first week. We know
that's
how
always
that works.
Happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of hard-to-test things with that. And MMOs always get crap spammed with bad reviews. Whenever there's an MMO expansion that releases for, like, World of Warcraft, people are like, I can't log in for 5 days and I'm paying for this. And it's like, well, it's an MMO, and there's millions of people who are trying to play the same game as you, and they don't have that many, you know, testers to dump on the server, yeah. So oops, it broke. But, so, you know, but with this, it's like, this is a fucking single-player game. They should have had time to make a working PC port. It's stupid. I don't want to get mad at them, but it's like, damn it.
I don't have a problem getting mad at Warner Brothers at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not mad at Rocksteady, and here's the thing about it that is also really frustrating is like, you know, I feel like this generation of consoles, and they even said this. I mean, I remember reading this. I don't remember who said it, but it was one of the people that worked for like Microsoft or Sony or like a developer or something. But there, I feel like this could have been like the generation that there was more parity across all platforms because they're so similar now in architecture. They don't have to worry about like the PS3's like crazy CPU cell architecture that's very specific and hard to develop for, or the 360's, you know, different than the PS3. Or I mean, they're all like the PS4 and 3 and the Xbox One are, I mean, they are the closest thing to like just a PC that there's been. I mean, that's just what they are. So I don't understand why it's becoming such a huge problem where these, like you said, single-player only games are... I mean, I feel like it's just ridiculous. Just, I mean, ridiculous is an understatement. It is just fucking insane that I have to worry about whether or not a game is going to work when I'm excited about it. Like, I'm can't wait for this game to come out next week. I better make sure that it works before I buy it. Like,
and did we? I don't think we ever had to worry about that before. Not very many years ago, we didn't.
I mean, there were games that came out, and like Johnny said, a lot of online games. But for single player games, it just wasn't really a thing. I mean, every once in a while, there would be cases of that, but it just.
And they had to be more careful back in the day.
You remember Sonic Adventure 2?
Exactly.
Now they're like, we'll patch it and we'll sell it because we can.
But remember Sonic Adventure 2? I mean, they actually recalled it because it was so bugged before it was. This was years ago, and I'm not saying that Sonic Adventure 2 is a particularly great game. It's been a long time since I played it. But I remember that they actually recalled it because it had so many problems with it, fixed it, then re-released it. And
you would definitely not see that nowadays.
Yeah, you would not see that. Just patch it.
Yeah,
a couple of guys.
It's incredibly irresponsible for a publisher to I mean, because it lands on the publisher at the end of the day.
Well, here's what the publisher is doing. This is why they're doing that. They're trying to get quarterly results, probably more so than they ever were, because the money pool is much larger than before, so they're larger as companies, meaning that they have all these subsidiary development teams, and to them, it's just product. It's like they're on a schedule, they're on a cycle, and quarterly, they got to get these products out. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, this is your date. So the dev's like, I don't know if that's realistic. And the publisher's like, well, this is your date. You know, here's a bajillion dollars, but that's your date. And if they can't pull it off, you know, if they don't have everything together, if for some reason they're like, fuck, only now can we push this finished product to our PC team, and everybody's ripping their hair out. They're like, this isn't going to work, but we have to abide by the date. Mm-hmm. And then they did. And then they're like, la, 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 la.
And that's the thing, is like, there's not a shortage of games that get delayed anymore. I mean, that still happens just as much, if not more, than it did before. I mean, games get pushed back all the time now. It seems like every AAA release for this latest console generation got pushed back at some point, unless it was like a launch title. You know what I mean? So they're at least listening to an extent, but then it's like,
they're announcing too early.
They're announcing too early. They're trying to build anticipation too early, and they're just. They're just fucking over the general public. They don't care about the consumer of their game, and it's just horrible. It's horrible business practices, and it's sad that the gaming industry has gotten to this point,
turning into more and more of a machine.
Yeah, and it's like there's no end in sight. I mean, this is just
because it makes money and it makes an obscene amount of it, and people are pissed and they're gonna whine online. But the whiners online don't really look very good. So it's like, it's hard to listen to anybody.
Well, I mean, at least, you know, there are big name publishers that are getting on board with a lot of these issues. So that's good. But
the big problem is that the PC game market isn't a fraction of the console market.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you look on VG charts on how many people are like outraged and are going to get refunds for their game, mm-hmm. it's like, oh no, like a 100th of the PS4 crowd. So, you know, money's money, but like in the end, what matters is appealing to the common denominator, which is the Xbox One PS4 owner.
Yeah.
And if they're happy, then.
Now, that's a good point, because this game runs fantastic on PS4. I've seen, like, the Digital Foundry, you know, whatever you want to call it, the analysis on this game, and it runs at, like, a consistent, super consistent 30 frames and drops down to, like, 26 at a couple times. But overall, it's great. Great on PS4. To the point where, if I could, I would give up my copy that is on a high-end gaming PC to play it at PS4 at a consistent frame rate, which is just ridiculous to think about.
I don't want to shove it in anybody's face, but I am really grateful to be a console gamer right now.
I'm really grateful to be both.
Yeah, I mean, I have both, and I have the option, but the point is, it just...
You guys deserve better, and that's true.
I play whatever works.
Yeah.
So I heard, oops, well, the PC version sucks, so going to the console.
Yeah, like, you know?
And I don't have any problem with it. I'm cool. I play it on the same screen with, and I like being on the console, because, I mean, I use the controller anyway on the PC. So in the end, it's the same shit to me, it's just the PC looks better sometimes.
Yeah, but, I mean, another thing about this that's kind of interesting, about just to lend more, into the fact that it's just a horribly optimized game. It's using, like, there was somebody that did that showed some statistics about their, about when they were running the game, and it only is using 70% load at the most on the graphics card, whereas a game like Witcher 3 is pushing the graphics card to 100% to its limit at all times, because it's a demanding game. It's normal. Graphics card, they can handle that. Mm-hmm. That's what they're there for. But Arkham Knight, as much as it's doing and, like, not able to do, it's only able to get up to 70%. It can't even use the full capabilities of the graphics card. So it's like, here's these recommended specs if you want to run the game in Ultra, but we aren't even going to be able to use the full capabilities of your graphics card that we're recommending. Like, it's just absurd. It's just stupid. It's ridiculous. It's not... It's just horrible.
Bad business.
Just, yeah, it is. It's bad business.
It's like the Master Chief thing all over again. And it's like, you want to see it succeed. For a lot of people did. You know, just out of nowhere. It's like, what? This wasn't ready at all?
Yeah.
Delay the fucking PC version. It's not the first time that's happened. But just the PC version. Like, come on.
Yeah, just delay the PC version. I mean, it wouldn't be the first. I mean, they did it for GTA for what? 2 years? And people were pissed. And GTA came out. And now people love it. It works. It's great on PC.
Yeah,
people play it all the time.
Advanced. But... Metal Gear Solid 5 comes out like 2 weeks after the PS4 version, so it's like, well, I know which one I'm going to play, but like, you know, they get the game, but since it's a weird port, they're like giving it a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So
that's my I guess after all that said, I would like to just say a few things about the game itself, because like I said, the game is very fun. Phil, you said you've got to play it for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I put in about 4. And so far, I really like it. It's when it's running well, it looks amazing. It's just it's a great-looking game.
Mm-hmm.
I love the graphics. Driving around in the Batmobile is really
awesome. They put a lot of time into the mechanics of that.
Absolutely.
You know, you feel like you feel the weight of of the car. I mean, you really feel like you're driving around a super fast tank.
And like you smash into stuff and everything breaks. And
it's like, what does it matter? I mean, it's all Bruce Wayne's money anyhow.
Yeah.
He built all of it.
You, like, when you crash into buildings, they, like, kind of, like, crack and debris comes off, and it just feels like it feels like a tank, just this beast.
Really smart of them to do that, too, because it would have made, if that had not been the case, it probably would have made driving around with the Batmobile a real pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
And so they added that in there where you can smash through a lot of things, and,
It's very seamless, too, the way it works.
Like, very intuitive.
Very intuitive, and everything works really well together. Like, being able to just call on your Batmobile and jump into it from, like, anywhere is awesome.
I just found out that you can grapple with it and bring down walls and shit in fronts of buildings, and that is just so awesome.
I love Batman's new suit.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's very much like the Chris Nolan Dark Knight costume, which I have no complaints over. I liked the Chris Nolan costumes, I think.
But with some new 52 mixed in, too, because it has, like, some of, like, the black stripes and stuff.
There's a little bit of that in there, too, and that's really awesome. There's a lot more new things you can do with the fighting system. I love the fear takedown.
Oh god, those are so great.
So badass. It's like how do we help the gamers make Batman do what they're seeing him do in the movies. In the cutscenes from the comics. We'll do that. And
just so you know what that is, Johnny, there's a new mechanic called fear takedowns, and basically the way it works is it's sort of like a, you know, like a quick kill or something, like in another game, like where you sneak up behind an enemy. You chain them. And if you sneak up on a group of enemies and get down like close enough before they see you, or like you're in a grate below them, you can do it there too. There's different scenarios where you can do it. And you jump down and like pounce on a guy, and it goes into like super slow-mo, and they're like shooting at you, and then you have to like move the camera to look at the other guy and press
Y. Target them.
And then he jumps at them and like moves the gun and like hits them. And it's all in slow motion. It looks like a movie scene. Like, it's just awesome. And I don't think I've seen the same one yet. Like, they have all been pretty different. And those games have like just a huge variety of animations and stuff for combat. And oh, the like uppercuts and kicks into the air where the Batmobile assisted takedowns are just awesome.
I haven't gotten to that yet, but it looks so fun. I like how you can, you know, throw bodies like several feet with the counters, and
oh, the throws are sweet.
Yeah, those are sweet, and it's just like
the environmental takedowns. You like smash guys' heads into stuff.
I brought a chandelier down on a guy's head.
Yeah,
that was sweet.
So those mechanics are all great, and the it's really satisfying to take down like those unarmed like sentry tank guns with the Batmobile. Like, just the explosions and particle effects are really good in that, and it just, the sound is really crisp, so it's just super satisfying.
Really satisfying. And it's great how you can just go into tank mode by holding down a button, you know, you can get to it really quick. And having that tank, at first I was skeptical about the tank combat, but it's really useful. Not just with combat, though, but just getting around tight areas. The game recommends that, especially when you're on buildings. So they make great use of it. Yeah. And if, you know, without the Batmobile, it would be a pretty good Batman game, pretty solid. But, you know, I think having the Batmobile in makes all the difference, and they were always going to put it in a Batman game sooner or later. Why wouldn't they?
And, Phil, I just want to say that there's a specific scene in the game that is taken from a certain Batman story. It's like a flashback, and it was awesome, and I'm excited for you to see it.
I can't wait.
It's very, very cool and well done. I had forgotten, because it's been so long since I played Arkham City, I'd forgotten how well Rocksteady is at just, like, doing something really different, like, out of nowhere in the game, like, playing, like, doing different things with, like, your perspective on the game. Like, literally, your perspective, like, changing things or, like, playing with your mind a little bit and having characters do unexpected things.
You start out as a cop.
Yeah, starting out as a cop at the very, very beginning.
It's a first-person shooter for 5 minutes.
Yeah, so...
I heard some people were saying that the game was... complaining the game was sexist or something. I'm like, what?
They're doing that all the time nowadays.
Every game is sexist. Well, the reason why I was saying, they're like, well, something horrible happens to Catwoman. I'm like, what?
Did she get raped?
I haven't.
They wouldn't. That'd be pretty. Well, that'd be pretty lame.
That'd be pretty lame.
You know, it's just people looking for an excuse.
This is like something I briefly read, but it sounded like it was something along the lines of that. And I'm like, well, they wouldn't spoil it if that was what it actually is. And if it is, I'm sorry for even bringing it up, but I'm not confident that is what it is.
If it was, I can understand
something sexist involving Catwoman that people were offended by. Not necessarily sexist, but...
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm intrigued. I want to know what this is.
I'm very curious about that.
Yeah, me too.
I hope there's nothing too crazy.
Well, the game's rated M suddenly, so who knows what could
happen. Is it?
Yeah,
remember? Remember we were talking about that.
Oh, yeah. Like yeah, you're right.
But...
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm excited to get it. This couldn't be a more perfect release window. Usually this time of year is very dead.
Yeah.
And we got super lucky with all the timing. It's just like, you know, Witcher 3 being delayed, which gave me the perfect time to beat it, like, literally 2 days before Batman comes out. And Batman came out the same day as...
Hey, I have time to play The Witcher 3 while I wait for a patch to get this game.
good timing.
Yeah, good timing.
And then the Final Fantasy 14 Heavensward expansion pack came out the same day as Arkham Knight.
Sweet.
Which, you know, you won't hear a lot about it, but to the community playing that game, that is one of... Pretty much everybody who's gotten into that game would agree that it is the best MMO on the market. It beats WoW and almost everything in terms of, like, quality, which is bizarre, because Final Fantasy... I don't think we ever really talked about this on the podcast, right?
The MMO?
Yeah.
No, maybe way back in the day.
Final Fantasy 14 was a fart. Like, not even a fart. It was a
Yeah, I understand that upon the release, it was... If Square Enix actually apologized for it.
Well, not for a while. It took them 2 years to finally give up, because it was so fucking bad in, like, every count. It was just a nightmare. So they literally nuked the game. They showed, like, a cutscene, a CG cutscene of Bahamut, the dark death dragon god, is like awakening and destroying the world.
That's
cool. Like, servers are down.
That's pretty sweet. So,
only 1 year passed. I believe it was just 1 year. And they're like, Realm Reborn is coming back. They fired everybody. They got, what?
Shit.
What?
Oh, a trade just happened. An NBA trade. The Blazers traded one of my favorite guys. Cool. Go ahead, sorry.
You gonna cry?
No. Just yell when this is over.
Yeah.
You can yell now.
But anyway. So it's a better game now.
That's an understatement.
It's incredible. I watched somebody play it quite a bit, and it looked like, I mean, I don't play MMOs, but I was very intrigued by it.
Yeah, they basically, because Asian MMOs aren't, they're not very good. They are very grindy. They focus on time sinks and locking you out,
mm-hmm.
and all these weird limitations that just kind of work in Asia, and they're still popular. Cheap gimmicks to gain money, and no real reason to play. As you can tell, I've tried playing Asian MMOs, and I don't like them. And there's so many of them, and that's what Final Fantasy XIV was you'd lock out at the end of a day. They'd be like, you leveled up too much. You can't play anymore today. And it's like, oh, I'm paying monthly for this piece of shit. It's like, oh, sorry, you can't craft anything else. And you know, not only that, the game was just broken. Like, the combat was horrible and all these things. They took all of these examples. They fired everyone. They hired a dream team. Like a guy who makes legit Final Fantasy games. I can't remember what all he'd made in the past, but he's incredibly talented. And this has been his best work. And then they hired just a bunch of people. They got the old Final Fantasy composer. They got Nobuo.
Yes, I was going to ask you about the music. That's pretty awesome.
He actually, I think, did a lot of music for the original release, but then he did much better new music for Realm Reborn, and he keeps at it.
That's great.
Graphically, huge improvement. Whole new engine in a year. They just pumped it out, and the game was incredible. The combat system was perfect. There was this great combat. There was this comboing you do with skills, where it's like you use your base skill, which can turn into this skill, which, like, you know, doubles the damage. But then turn into you have a choice between using this skill, but you have to start it with these two, and just the way you combo things together in a chain made it a lot less like playing, you know, a keyboard, like playing the fucking piano with your skills, like in WoW. Yeah, the dungeons were great. Teamwork was great. And it had like a JRPG story.
And the music was fantastic.
Yeah, it was incredible. Nobuo Uematsu. But they had cutscenes and story. And it felt like when you beat it, you beat a JRPG.
You could have cool hair, too.
Cool. Yeah. The character models look better than any other MMO.
The graphics in general were really impressive for
now. And they look better now. They released a DX11 upgrade that makes the lighting crazy good.
Let me ask you this. Have you heard any impression about the expansion?
Fucking awesome. And we knew it was going to be. So, like, there's the expansion is set in this city. I can't remember what it's called, but it's, like, in this snowy mountainous region. And it's this brawling massive city that's far bigger than anything else like that in the series.
Skellige,
yeah, they call it. It's similar to that kind of thing. But the land mass that the expansion has is, like, in a way bigger than the original base game.
Wow, that's incredible.
It adds flying mounts at one point, since it's so open that you fly around everywhere. And there's, like, shit in the sky, like cloud cities and stuff.
Damn.
And things just went crazy cool. And, you know, the music's just gotten insane.
So you should get this game and play it. It's on PS4.
They added some classes. Yeah, the PS4 port is good. A lot of people don't like the controller setup. I actually like it for when you're just doing quests and story. I like to just kick back and relax with the controller. But when you're doing dungeons, you know, you gotta get in because there's a lot going on with teamwork and everything. But all my friends are they're far more into this game than I am. So I've been trying to keep up with it. I got to level 50. I played Endgame for about 2 months. It's the second MMO I've ever done that in, and I've tried with a lot.
I like that this game, the amount of, like, effort that they put into this as fan service in a quick amount of time, is just something that's incredible and very, I just have a ton of respect for that decision, because let's face it, it's a ballsy decision, and it was a huge chance financially to do this, because I mean they took a huge chance because maybe people weren't gonna, you know, they had already been burned once, they didn't want to do it again, or maybe the game comes out and it's, you know, pretty good, but maybe there's another MMO that comes out, people move. So they took a chance to show loyalty to their customer base and, you know, try and amend the mistake that they had made. And I just think that that's just awesome. And I thought that since I first heard about the game, and I'm glad that it gets attention for that, and I'm glad that people are into it so that it's, you know, so that they can see that decisions like that really do matter. And
it's not on enough people's radar, because, like, I enjoy MMOs. I don't love Final Fantasy. I like JRPGs and Japanese quirkiness, but I just never got into a Final Fantasy game. So, and neither had Ritz, and he liked, you know, healing in MMOs and stuff. He was good at MMOs. And so we both kind of got into it at the same time. We're like, yeah, I don't like Final Fantasy, but this kicks ass. Because it was just a good game on many accounts.
Now, I also wanted to talk about Batman Arkham Knight's Forensics. And we were also going to talk about Kevin Conroy.
Good Batman transition.
We'll get back to that. Definitely.
It was a really great conversation about Final Fantasy XIV. I had a couple more things to say.
How are we bridging this?
keep going.
Well, I mean, how do you transition that?
Did you have other things to say about Final Fantasy?
I feel like I had one last thing to say about Final Fantasy.
Phil, you just completely derailed this whole damn
thing. Fuck! Now I think about Batman riding a chocobo.
Yeah, I mean, how do you okay, no, here's your transition. Yeah, you know, are chocobos in the game? Hey, are chocobos in the game?
No.
Oh, well, what if a chocobo was a game? What if Batman was wearing a chocobo? Transition, Batman Arkham Knight.
We're not transitioning quite yet.
I'm a genius.
It's not done.
You finish, buddy. Finish. Go ahead and finish.
Phil is just ready to get the fuck out of Final Fantasy land. No.
So the expansion is really good. And how long has it been out now? It's been two years.
That was right? What I was going to say. Yeah, so it came out 2 years ago. They just released this expansion, but in that time, in those 2 years, there were 5 massive content updates.
Man.
That not only did they added what fans wanted, they added new systems, they polished up things, and like they cleaned up the menu. Every patch, it seems like it was more
like
intuitive.
What you said about DX11 and the lighting and stuff.
Yeah, they just added that, and so, you know, this expansion added just, you know, when the first expansion of an MMO comes out, it makes or breaks the MMO. Usually it makes it, because it changes everything, and it sort of helps shape it to be something like twice as good as it was.
Right.
Because without an expansion, it's kind of lacking content, and with one expansion, that's when it's a time sink. So, yeah, I just hope people will figure out just how, because you probably hadn't heard about Heaven's Ward coming out on Tuesday. But, I mean, MMO news is usually pretty low-key, even when 1 million people are playing it. But, you know, the MMO community is bustling about this one, but just needs more people. WoW needs less.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. I got it, like I said before, I just... I have a lot of respect for companies that take chances on their consumers' behalf. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I said, they're taking a financial chance with this game, and it paid off, and I hope that more people get on board with that game. It's always intrigued me, and I just never have got around to it.
You might like it, but it's funny that we're talking about this when Jack's not here, because he's far more into it than I am, and
he was super stoked about it last week.
Yeah.
I
have another friend who's even more stoked.
I would have liked to hear his impressions about the expansion. Here, we'll call him.
Yeah. What do you?
We actually need him to fact check a couple things anyway for me. So Phil, you mentioned you had a couple things to talk about with Batman, and we're not gonna let you do that.
Okay.
Because you derailed the conversation. No, I'm just kidding. You wanted to talk. What was it you said about?
I like where the forensic system... It's a good first impression I have on the forensic system.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Did they improve that?
Yes.
Yes, they did.
I think they did. There's some really interesting forensic things that you get to do.
So here's,
it kind of reminded me of The Witcher.
Well, I always thought that the original forensics were kind of like that already.
They were, but there's some interesting things that you do, like following type things.
Yeah.
Like this, there's one part in it where you follow like certain tire tracks, like that, because he checks the tread of the tire and stuff and different things like that.
But furthermore, what caught my eye was looking at a dead body. There's like three different layers you can look at for evidence. You can look at like you can look at a guy's tattoo. You know, that can be a clue. You can go further, look at his entrails, and you can find a bullet. You can go further and look at a skeleton, and you can find a fractured bone. That's one of the things. That's a new feature, I believe, that wasn't in the last games, and I thought that's really fun.
Yeah.
What was so funny?
Nothing. I was just remembering a coworker today that farted really loudly on the phone with a customer.
Okay, great.
wait. Hold on.
Should I bring this up on the podcast?
Tell a full story, please.
Okay. I'm not going to name any. We'll talk about it, Phil.
Okay.
Calm the fuck down.
Okay.
So I'm not going to name any names, but and for the people out there that don't know, I work in a job which requires you to be on the phone doing tech support with customers, and I sit next to he's just a unique guy, and today he was on the phone with a customer and just this huge rumbly, the kind of fart that when you let it, you're like, it kind of like shakes you.
Yeah.
Like if you're sitting by, like at home, like the kind of fart that if you were sitting on the same couch but on opposite ends, the person would be like, "Whoa,
I felt the bass."
Yeah, like I felt that.
Was he just like whatever after that?
He did it, and then the customer, I guess, was like, "So this is from my perspective. from my perspective, I'm on the phone too, and I hear him do this, and I'm like." Like, are you kidding me? And I, like, look over at one of my other coworkers, and we kind of, like, look at each other, like, really? Did he just do that? And then we hear him go, oh, nope, that definitely wasn't a yawn. Because I guess the guy was like, whoa, you all right there? Anyway.
Didn't you turn to Jordan and be like, I can't believe that just happened while you were on the phone?
I forgot to mute my phone, and then I looked at Jordan and I was like, I can't believe that just happened. And my customer goes, what? So I was like, oh, nothing.
Scott, rip ass.
No. Oh, sorry, sir. One of my coworkers just ripped ass right now.
No, I was able to dodge it. All right.
It's kind of like the time you came over to my desk and you accidentally turned on my embarrassing anime girl alarm clock. Like, you open it up and it's just like J-pop plays. It's super loud.
So loud.
And you just heard this suggestive, like, high-pitched voice saying some Japanese
Some girl shit. Voice that's
like with, like, a moany voice.
Oh.
And he hits that app. Which I use as a joke alarm to wake people up when we got like for like PAX and stuff because it's amazing. And he fucking puts it up and I'm on the phone with a customer. And here's this J-pop. First of all, like I have coworkers around. They're just like, "What the fuck is that?"
You're not understanding how loud this was. It was
the J-pop or the fart.
My
the J-pop
and the fart, but yeah. My phone was cranked, and I took my phone because I still was unmuted, and I was like, I couldn't shut the damn thing off. I couldn't mute it, and I was like, fuck. So I threw the phone, and I was just like, sorry. And I couldn't think of an excuse. I'm like, my coworker fiddling with my phone,
it's pretty awesome.
The coworkers or the customer didn't like know what was going on. He's like, oh okay, like
whatever, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
It was funny and loud. All right, Phil. This is your moment of truth. You've been sitting over there.
Speaking of yelling. Persona 5 news.
Oh, you bastard!
You want to talk about Kevin Conroy's voice acting in Batman? Because we talked about it a little bit before the show.
I'm happy to hear it again, and. I'm not playing far enough into the game to make like a general consensus, but so far, I think he's just Kevin Conroy doing his thing as Batman again, and he's doing it pretty flawlessly. And I think he's taken some, you know, what would have been otherwise archetypically uncreative lines and just made them work. you know, like, I'll bring these people to justice. And, you know, he says it in a way that is very effective, and I don't think, oh, this is a shitty line when he says it. And I think that it's great to have him back. But Stryker, he thinks that, you know, you have a different perspective. You think that Kevin Conroy is good.
Not necessarily. I wouldn't say I have a different perspective. I think that it's great to have him back. I love mm-hmm. Kevin Conroy. I grew up listening to him as Batman. Some of the delivery of his lines in this game was a little different than some of his past work as Batman, I thought. Very, very few lines. Most of them are great and kind of more subtle and everything. But I noticed a few lines that, like, it's a small enough amount that, like, it's, to me, it's just, like, laughable. Like, I don't even care, you know? It's not a big deal. But there were a few lines, like, during a couple interrogation sequences I noticed that were kind of... It sounded like maybe they could have had another couple takes and he would have nailed it. Mm-hmm. But maybe just because they were lines that are just recycled, like the interrogation ones over and over again, they just didn't put as much, like, time into those.
Mm-hmm.
But so they sounded a little too, like, over the top. Like, he was... It's hard to explain, but the delivery was just a little too...
I guess I haven't played far enough into the game sounding yet, but... yeah, I'm not going to fight you on that, because I'm sure I'll find them.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're the interrogations that you do randomly. Like, when you see an enemy highlighted in green, like, mm-hmm. just running around the street, you can interrogate them.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the ones I noticed.
Okay,
and there, those lines, are, like, in cutscenes and stuff, are fucking great.
Oh, great. Are these guys that you interrogate, are they associated with the Riddler?
Yeah.
Okay, guys. So it's a Riddler thing. Pretty cool about the Riddler things, they're basically racetracks.
Yeah, those are the ones you were talking about, Johnny. The Riddler platforming sequences.
They actually were for Riddler shit?
Yeah, they're for Riddler shit.
And they're,
my god, I knew it.
I played the first one; it was crazy.
Yeah, they're kind of cool. Like, I gotta say, they're really interesting, and like they're like puzzles mixed in with like car platforming, but they're not hard car. The platform part is easy. Some of the puzzles are like kind of difficult to figure out, though. Like, one part, you have to, like, drive up on this thing, get on, like, a teeter-totter platform, and push a button so this platform goes into the wall so it can go up further, and then ramp onto this other platform, and just different stuff like that.
It's and crazy. At this point, you're, like, wondering, how the hell can the Riddler have the funding and the time to actually do all this without getting caught? But it just comes down to the fact that, look, I mean, it's a game. Like, it's a game, and they've, you know... They've done the best they could to tell the best stories they can, given the mechanics that they had. And I think that they've generally done a good job. But at the same time, it's still got to be a fun game.
Okay, no, see, that kind of thing with a very cartoony take on Batman like Arkham is, that to me is far more believable than the Joker sneaking 800,000 gallons of bombs into the hospital in the Dark Knight.
Oh. I can agree with that. Yeah, it's funny. Like, the Riddler thing, it's just... They're kind of, like, they don't take it... you could tell those are kind of, like, almost a little more lighthearted missions. Because it's just, like, the Riddler is just, you know, he's trying to prove himself the intellectual superior to Batman. And he mm-hmm. keeps failing and getting all pissed. And he's like, I don't know how you did it last time, but it was just fluke and blah, blah, blah. And he gets all pissed, so... Transitioning from Batman, unless you had anything else, Philium?
Well, we both enjoy it, and I can't think of much else to say. I'm excited to get home and start playing it again.
As a game, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
As a PC port, I'm disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I won't have to deal with that.
Yeah. Johnny, I'm going to have to borrow your PS4 copy for a while. Like, 2 weeks. A month, maybe.
I mean, once I beat it, yeah.
No, before you beat it. So, another thing that this is going to be right up your alley, Johnny, from Phil and I talking about Batman so much. This is your time to shine here.
Oh,
that's the Persona 5 trailer.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. You should, Phil.
Phil knows. Persona 5 trailer.
I've had many a sleepless night for the last 2 days.
You and many other people, from what I hear.
Yeah, like all of 4chan, because for some reason all of 4chan seems to like Persona. But for the last 2 days, Persona 5 started having leaks of a new trailer We've waited 4 months since the last one that happened in February. That blew everyone's mind because the February trailer revealed what we've been waiting to see for 5 years. So there was a lot of questions, like, when the fuck is it coming out? How are you doing it this year? This doesn't make sense. It was supposed to originally come out, according to the teaser, in 2013. It was supposed to come out in fall of 2014. Which it didn't. And when, now, in February of 2015, we got the first like glimpse of a two-minute trailer. But so people are dying to see more. Like, literally dying. And as soon as the first trailer came out, they said, well, the shitty dancing rhythm game for the Vita spin-off of the last entry, as soon as that comes out, it's going to ship with a Blu-ray disc that has a confidential stamp on it. And that Blu-ray disc is going to have a trailer as a pre-order bonus. So people are like, oh shit, it's only for Japan, which that came out today. So people are like, in Japan are jumping to buy this game, to get this trailer. We've known for four months that there's going to be a Persona 5 big deal on this Blu-ray. So for 2 days we've been waiting for leaks, because somebody started leaking screenshots of the trailer. And somebody said it was 7 minutes. Somebody said it was 17 minutes, because back in the day, when the PS2 was hot, Famitsu Magazine was like, for Persona 3 and Persona 4, they released a DVD that had a 17-minute trailer, which sounds pretty great to me. I don't know. No game seems to do that. But if you're releasing your trailers on a fucking disc or a Blu-ray, you should put something on it. So we get the trailer. It's 2 minutes. And not only that, it has recycled footage in it. And it doesn't really show us much new, other than that it's got a wicked-ass soundtrack and some, like, you know, it introduces one more mysterious character. Doesn't give us a release date. And Atlas is, like, being super secretive about it. They're, like, taking every video down that comes out. But it's, like, they don't really have anything new to show. So...
But the music.
The music was sick.
That's cool.
I love the music of that game, I gotta say.
Would you say this is a case of them just trolling everyone, or is this...
Atlas is known for that.
I think it was more just people building up anticipation for something that maybe wasn't meant to be.
Atlas. Like. No. I mean, you say the next piece of Persona 5 news of anything, because they haven't heard a word. I mean, this is one of the most looked forward to games. This is the most looked forward to game in Japan.
Right.
And they're like, the next piece of news is in 4 months when you buy this game. You get, they're teasing it like a few weeks before. They showed like...
So it wasn't something that they just like threw in there for a goodie. They actually like advertise it like...
It's like when you bought Crackdown and you got Halo 3 beta.
Okay.
It's like that, but for Japan.
Then that sucks.
Yeah. So it's like they were teasing somebody holding the confidential stamped disc that it comes in, and they have a whole Blu-ray dedicated to like old trailers and then this new one, but it's just 2 minutes, and it's like you could show literally anything else in a Persona game, and there's so many tiny details that they could be like, oh, they're doing that, that's cool, there's that theme, there's this, literally anything for seconds can give you a ton, and they didn't really show anything that good. Like, they kind of showed a new character. They showed recycled footage, and then they, like, extended the footage from the last. So it's like, in this, we show, there's an anime cutscene of them running from a boulder. And then, in the next trailer, it's, like, a different angle of them, like, finishing, like, leaving the area running from that boulder. It's like, okay, well, like, they show the same areas, they don't show anything new. It's so frustrating. And so it's like, for 2 days, 4chan just exploded. It was like attacking and harassing Japanese people who got it early on Twitter and on there's 2chan, which is the Japanese 4chan, which came first. And so 4chan members are going on there and just like begging. It was awful. But there are tons of people. Like, it was so entertaining last night at midnight. I'd refresh it and the threads, and every... You know, every few seconds, there'd be like 5 to 7 new posts on the 4chan thread. And so, like, there was one guy, like, I was just watching this all live, basically, and one guy's like, I got the trailer, my Japanese friend sent me the files, here's a screenshot of the files. People were like, oh, it looks legit. So a bunch of other people were like, no, don't download that, but some brave person's gotta do this. So somebody did, and they posted a screenshot of, like, 100, like keylogger viruses that he downloaded. And it was like, oh, shit. Yeah, it was a pretty magical night last night. I'm not gonna lie, I had a lot of fun. It was just a massive shitstorm, and then it was over the most minimal. But the game's supposed to come out this year for us, and that takes at least 2 months between the Japanese version, and they don't have a release date, meaning that it's got to come out sometime at the end of September or August or October, September or October, and they don't have a date. Concerning. People are like, well, maybe Tokyo Game Show. It's like, well, Tokyo Game Show's in September. It's like towards the end of it, too. So, I don't know. It's very frustrating. But, so yeah, to me, that was my huge news of the week. And I'm very disappointed. But at the same time, sweet soundtrack.
Yeah, the music was fucking great in that trailer.
The composer, Shoji Meguro or whatever... He's incredible. The music for every Persona game is just insanely... It's one of the biggest parts of the game.
I hope Kanye West has a track on it.
Yeah. You never know.
What about Lil Wayne? Don't forget Lil Wayne.
You hear Kanye West was at E3?
Yeah, I saw a picture of him playing Street Fighter, and it actually made me think that he was a normal human for once. Yeah. He was playing Street Fighter with a smile on his face, and I thought to myself, you know, that looks like just a normal dude. And
then he comes back
and thinks he's a demigod.
Yeah. What else did he play?
I hope we never talk about Kanye West on this podcast ever again. Sorry.
some emotion just came out.
I just don't ever want that to happen.
Apparently he played Uncharted 4 as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Rocco from Mega 64, he said he was standing in line, and he's kind of leaning outside the line, and some security guard just, like, pushes him in. He's like, what the hell? And he comes back out to, because he's watching the demo from the line, and he gets pushed back in again. He's like, what the fuck? And he turns over, and Kanye West is standing right next to him. He's like, oh. And he, like, skips the line and goes straight in.
That's funny.
It's awesome. No, it's really shitty. It's getting pushed around by security guards because Kanye West.
But if it was Snoop Dogg, I'd be like, man, can I fight you in Street Fighter?
Yeah, let's play some Tekken at your level.
Yeah.
at the Snoop Dogg level.
With the song. It's the best.
Did you have anything else about Persona 5?
That's pretty much it. It's confusing, frustrating, and magical game.
I learned something kind of cool today that I just wanted to say. Just a random little piece of news. I read a thing that Nintendo originally, what's the word I'm looking for? They originally offered, or at least pushed the Criterion Games, the developers of the Burnout series, to make a new F-Zero game to be a Wii U launch title, and it didn't end up working out. But imagine how cool that would have been for Criterion to make a F-Zero game.
That'd be a lot of velocity you'd be getting.
That would a lot be of really sweet cool. crashes, probably.
Criterion is my favorite racing studio by far.
Burnout Paradise was one of the best games.
Well, Need for Speed, Most Wanted, and Hot Pursuit just built off of Paradise.
Yeah.
Like, they were literally just the Need for Speed Paradise 2.0.
But they didn't have sweet crashes and games based on crashing.
They had some... Dude, it was Burnout. It was like, did you play it?
No.
It was Burnout on the DICE engine. On the Crossbite engine.
But did you have actual games where the objective was to crash?
Yes.
Yes?
Well, so for... I'm trying to remember... Because you had silly objectives. So, like, you get into an online match, and it'd be like, everybody race to the next objective. So, it's the open world. So, everybody races to the next objective. And then the first one gets some bonus points. Then when you're there, it starts, like, a timer. And it's like, you know, pick your type of car. And you're supposed to pick, like... You're supposed to pick, like, a tuner for this particular one. And this one's just, like, do a wheelie... Or, no, wheelie. Fuck. Do a drift.
Do a barrel roll.
Yeah, do a barrel... Do a drift around this giant church. And just keep the drift going for as long as you can. And you're like, you're racking up, like everybody's drifting around this church at the same time, trying to like rack up drift points and stuff. So it's just like, the multiplayer was like a party thing. So it'd be like, jump this giant thing, crash into this. So it was basically Burnout Paradise's party mode. Because Paradise dropped Party Crash, but it had Party Mode, which is basically what Near Speed improved in that. So I loved that Near Speed game. It was a great game.
I wanted to just speak on a game, speaking of racing games, actually. I've played this quite a bit and haven't got a chance to talk about it. I've been playing Dirt Rally. I think I actually mentioned it on the podcast a little while ago. Mm-hmm. It's Phil, I don't know if you're familiar with these games. Johnny, I think you are. The Dirt games, the rally racing games.
Okay.
They're made by Codemasters, who also make Grid. They make another racing game. I forget which, what's it called? It's like Formula One or something. But anyway, they make fantastic games. And I've always loved the rally racing games, even dating back to the original Xbox, like the Colin McRae rally racing or whatever it was called. And so a lot of people were kind of upset because Dirt 2 and 3 sort of got away from the formula and like true rally racing and became more of kind of bro-y. Like a lot of like just
like not bra-ish enough, it's just more bro-y.
Yeah, a little bit more bro-y, and had some like weird like stunt tracks and different type of races and stuff. And then Dirt Rally, it's an early access game, so it's not like the full experience, but it shows an incredible amount of promise and an incredible amount of polish too.
It looks great.
Like, it's a fully polished racing game at this point. It just doesn't have all the content yet. Like, there's no glitches whatsoever that I've had my experience playing the game. And it's just all straight up rally racing, like point to point, like trial type racing, you know, where you're trying to beat the best time and stuff like that. And the physics and just like the racing and sound effects and the graphics, everything is just so amazing. And you're constantly like switching surfaces, like from snow to tarmac, to like light gravel and medium gravel, and they all are completely different the way that you race.
Yeah. Speaking of the tracks, I'm watching one of the videos right now, and I feel like someone just dropped a car in Afghanistan in Phantom Pain, and you're just racing in it.
Yeah, you actually play as.
It looks really good. Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, it does, and it plays really well too, and the sound is so good. Like I noticed that when I was playing, like I'd switch from like the sand, and then I go onto like tarmac, just like regular cement, and I started hearing like the tires screeching and stuff, like as soon as I got on the tarmac, and then you go back onto the dirt, and they don't screech anymore and stuff. Like just little touches like that are great. It's just a fantastic game, and I'm really excited to actually get the full game, because you know, with more tracks and cars and everything, and I just wanted to point out how much I like it, and I'm excited for it. I recommend it for anybody that likes the old Colin McRae or Dirt games. So, and I also picked up Sniper Elite 3 on the Steam sale.
Sweet.
and I played that a little bit, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fun game.
It is.
It's not like especially great or anything, but no. It's just fun. It's like the kind of game that you're like, yeah, this is fun, and then you like 5 hours later, you're like, oh shit, I'm still playing this. like the sniping, the whole sniping gimmick just does not get old.
Mm-hmm.
The slow motion, gory, X-ray Mortal Kombat kills, they just are very fun. So I like that game. It's just a fun game.
As you were speaking, there is a juicy tidbit of news that came out about Shenmue 3.
Oh, cool.
We were going to talk about Shenmue 3. I don't know if you want to do that now.
Sure, yeah, I was done.
So Shenmue 3 had a budget of $2 million, which they hit in less than 12 hours, which is the fastest Kickstarter's ever raised money. They then slowed down.
Now, they had stretch goals going all the way up to
unknown amounts, and he says that he really wants $10 million. He said that in Reddit. on an AMA, which people then was like, "What? Ah, ah, Sony greedy? Fuck! You know, everything's end of the world."
No, he said to make the full, true open world game that he wanted, he'd need like $10 million.
But he also kind of made it sound like $5 million is what he really needs. And $10 million is what he really wants. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, after Sony announced that they were involved, nothing about this was transparent. Everybody thought that some, you know, sketchy bullshit's up. I funded the game.
As did I.
And so I just got an email.
I was actually one of the $10,000 backers.
Oh, okay. You going? You getting the jacket or the dinner?
The dinner, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to go out to... BK.
We're gonna go out to IHOP.
Gonna get some chicken fries.
Nice.
Some freeze-dried strawberries. So basically, Shenmue is currently at, like, 3.6 million when, you know, in their first day, a week and a half ago, at the Sony press conference, or maybe it was a week ago, I don't know, it was a week and a day, they hit their $2 million goal. And they only gained 1.6 million after that. So they've slowed down quite a bit. Now probably more to normal Kickstarter levels, but the last couple days they've only gained like $100,000 a day. You know, they still have plenty of time, but they want a lot of money. And I think that they'll hit 5 million by the, you know, in the next 23 days. That would be ridiculous if they didn't. But I don't think there are that many Shenmue fans out there that are willing to drop tons of money to make it be funded more than a fucking Castlevania game or something, or Mega Man. Well, which it actually is being funded more than that, but I think that's just because of the circumstances of the game and the audience that wants it, and how much money they have because they're all older. But I feel like that was like an exciting like impulse, like, yes!
Right.
That being said, the news... was very poor, and I think that because of that, it's taken a hit on the Kickstarter, and there's a lot of negativity surrounding it, which is stupid, because no one would ever guess that Shenmue 3 would arrive with panning, but...
Can I point something out real quick?
Yeah.
Now, this I read a while ago. This is from the FAQ on the Kickstarter campaign itself, and it, you know, just take it for what it's worth, but... excuse me.
I like your very serious demeanor and
I kind of didn't even realize I did it.
Excuse me.
So
get some J-pop going too.
On the Shenmue Kickstarter, it says on here, can you make an open world game for just $2 million? And the answer is no. We cannot make an open world game for $2 million. Shenmue will be produced using both the funds raised from the Kickstarter and through other funding sources already secured by WiseNet. YSNet. I don't know how to pronounce that.
It's Yu Suzuki Net.
Figured out. We are very sorry, but due to contractual obligations, details of outside investments will not be disclosed. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think that he's coming out and saying outright, we need all $10 million from the Kickstarter campaign. Just from his, from what
he just wants to make it a true open world experience. If he gets that
right.
So he's just making clear what could happen if it went crazy.
And the other part of this is if you ask like the Rockstar guys like about like GTA 5, like you know, what would you do if you had like $15 million more dollars? You know, I'm sure they'd be able to come up with stuff. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, we'd add this and this and this. So it's not the end of the world. You know, it's not like he's gonna make this watered down game. That
yeah. Well, okay. So here is what I got. Kickstarter, I just got an email from Yu Suzuki himself, and I'm going to read it now, because this just happened. There have been many questions and concerns regarding Shenmue 3's budget, and what outside sources will be added to the money collected through Kickstarter. I apologize for not having been more forthright in this area, and would like to take this opportunity to clarify the situation. YSNet and I have been putting many long years trying to find a way to bring back the sequel that so many fans have been waiting for. Blah blah blah, learning about Kickstarter, wanted to make the best game possible, okay, all that. He wanted a more traditional way to obtain funds, okay, all the stuff he's already said before. But then he said, Sony and Shibuya Productions, so they're two producers involved, have been wonderful partners because they believe in Shenmue and want to see the best for the fans in the game. Their investment and support of Shenmue have helped realize the sequel and will stand proud with its predecessors. Makes sense to me. While it is not business practice to discuss the specific details of such arrangements, I will say that their assistance on the production and marketing end, in Sony's case, with some publishing support as well, YSNet will be able to use more of the money we collect through Kickstarter purely for the development. It's also important to note that your funds, rather than the publishing part of it, which is the most expensive part, it's also important to note that your funds are going strictly to YSNet for development of Shenmue 3. Sony and Shibuya Productions are not seeing a cent of your Kickstarter dollars. The outpouring of support from all of you, the backers, have been so inspirational. I cannot thank you enough.
Where is this from again?
This is from Yu Suzuki on the email you got for your Kickstarter update.
Okay. The latest one?
Yeah, I just got this email.
Oh, cool.
I'm excited to say that Shenmue's story will go on, and our journey with Ryu and Shenhua will continue. Fans will be able to enjoy the sequel they have waited so long for, and newcomers to the series will be introduced to a unique gaming experience. Of course, like with any Kickstarter, additional funding will only help us make a better game. On top of everything Shenmue will already bring, the stretch goals I have laid out will add extra quests, events, and new gameplay systems that will make the game even more immersive and take the series to the next level. At the $5 million mark, there will be an all-new gameplay feature I would be excited to be able to add to Shenmue Legacy, which he has not disclosed what that is. If we should make $10 million stretch goal, a much larger, completely open world will be yours to explore. I'm guessing with all the stretch goal zones he wanted to add as well, that makes sense. Even if these stretch goals are not reached, Shenmue 3 will already be a sequel true to its name. So we've already made it, basically. And one we can all be proud of. It is my hope that together we can make Shenmue just as revolutionary as the first two were. I understand this statement may be late in coming. Going forward, we wish to be as open as possible concerning the game's development. I would like to, again, ask for your cooperation and support in helping make Shenmue 3 the best it can be. Sincerely, Yu Suzuki. That was perfect timing, because we were going to talk about this.
And I think that was for us. I think he was like, knew we were recording.
Yeah, he's like, oh shit, I better finish that email, the recording.
I have an in with Yu Suzuki. My cousin actually, back way, way back when Shenmue was first released, was on like a chat room back in the day, or like a message board, I guess. And this was back when, you know, the internet was relatively young, at least AOL. For the general public. And so there was more interaction if you knew where to look. Yeah. So he sent, like, a thing to Yu Suzuki, like an email, and got a response. And so he asked him some questions about the game and got a response. I always thought that was cool. So basically, I mean, it's like me and Yu Suzuki are, like, best pals.
Yeah.
In fact, he's taking your spot, Phil. You're fired.
Yeah, that's amazing. That was a great response he had that addressed literally everything. Not a cent is going to Sony or the other people in Japan. They're just helping with the publishing part of it, which is the most expensive part. Everything we do helps the development budget, which just helps YSNet. That's great. Okay,
makes sense.
Throw your fucking money out now. Stop your skepticism and your bullshit. And I really hope that they can make the $5 million at least. I know we're not going to get $10 million, but if we exceed $5 million, we should hit some of the other stretch goals for adding new zones and apparently a new feature. But
$5 million is definitely not out of the question. I mean, there's still, what, 22 days to go?
How open world were Shenmue 1 and 2? I mean, I'm walking around like a town. Is that what he refers to?
Yeah, I mean, that's at least that's what I assume.
Because, I mean, I can't imagine that it would be anything else. Like,
23 days to go.
It seems to me like that's just how Shenmue is. Like, you just walk around a town. It's not like it's that vast. Like,
yeah, I mean, maybe he means as far as like other things to do in the open world, or like
maybe
other...
he wants to make it like plains of China and stuff.
Hey, maybe that would be sweet.
Like a platforming element.
Yeah, with a car.
Maybe he actually wants to make it to where you have to get a car insurance agent in case you bash your car into someone else's. Like, you actually have to go to court. That would be so Shenmue, wouldn't it?
Not really. No. But but that would be interesting. I hope not. I hope that's not the $5 million stretch goal.
So the I started playing Shenmue 1. I kind of want to talk about that.
Phil, you better start playing it too.
Yeah, I got a Dreamcast emulator working, which was
I read that.
I got the games ready to go. I'm super stoked. I played about an hour or so into the first one, and I looked at a few videos, and for some reason, it really appeals to me. And I knew it would. I always kind of knew that. But, like, I couldn't get into Yakuza games, but I love them. Mm-hmm. But, like, they're slow and long, and so is Shenmue, totally. But
Shenmue has this serenity about it when you play it that you can play it for as long as you feel like it almost and not get bored, because it's just like this game that it's hard to explain, but it's just peaceful. Like something about the game is just so calming.
They do slice of life really well, and I feel like I love
slice of life. That is the phrase of the month.
I love that phrase because I love that genre for a lot of things. And that is what Persona does, and that's what Yakuza does, and that's what this game does. And
slice of pie.
Yeah, dude, it's delicious, and Shenmue is delicious. But the forklift part, I looked online at that.
Oh boy,
it's hilarious. It's like they just for all of the mini games, Yu Suzuki just took the engine of one of his Virtua games and just threw in a minigame. So the forklift driving is like you got like a timer and laps, and it's just like it's just one of the car. It's one of his car games.
What I'm trying to remember, GT or I don't remember.
He made like Hang On and all those. He made so many like old school arcade cabinet.
Hey, you get to play Space Harrier in Shenmue.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I heard about that.
There's actual arcade cabinets that you can play in the game.
It's like, Yu Suzuki's just like, alright, well, let's take literally every game I made and just, like, make it a part of Shenmue. And he hasn't made anything lately, so that won't really be as much of a thing in 3, but it's interesting. It's funny to me, because to me it's impressive that Shenmue has voice acting at all. Yakuza series, even up to 4 and 5 and everything, they don't have voice acting hardly ever. Mm. Like, they have their
text.
Yeah. They have their important cutscenes, which are amazing. When Yakuza gets into a cutscene, which they are quite often, it turns into a Japanese soap opera.
Yeah.
Like, they start moving, like really Japanese. Like, if you watch, like, a live-action Japanese movie, you know what I'm talking about. They're very expressive.
Yeah.
And the way they move their mouths and talk. And you don't see that in, like, JRPGs. You don't see that in anime. You only see that in movies and live-action stuff and Yakuza. And Yakuza,
that's a good point.
Yeah, and it's all in Japanese dialogue, so you don't have any silly dub. And it's just, it's all, like, you know, very typical mob story. And it's really, really good. It's got the Shenmue kind of beat-em-up thing, tons of mini-games, great detail, like an arcade-y sort of realistic detail. Mm-hmm. But there's like half of the dialogue is just it's like they actually do that. The sound design is fucking horrible, because when you walk, like when you hear people walk, it's just like the same. They took one sound effect of and like that's it. That's every footstep in the game.
Yeah.
And then you just hear this, like whenever people like walk around, and then like, is this a game from 2012? What the fuck? But yeah, so Shenmue doesn't have that. It's fully voiced, right? The whole thing from point A to point B is
There's voiced. No text dialogue.
Even if the voice,
it's got 40,000 lines of dialogue.
It's crazy. That's where all the budget went back then. Games back then didn't have voice, so it's like, you can say that the voices are shitty in Shenmue, because they are.
But there's a charm people have for it. They love the shitty voices.
And it's still
it.
Charming, in my opinion. A lot of people look at it like, oh, it's dated. But if you understand, like, why it was good, and, like, what they're going for, it still works. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like it wore off, really.
No.
You know, because it's got that karate movie feel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you can enjoy Enter the Dragon, you can enjoy Shenmue. Like, because it's hammy and it's campy, but, like, you can always take campy seriously and have a good laugh and just love it. It's endearing. And, you know, the start of the game, like, you know, the soundtrack's amazing. And then they reorchestrated it and stuff. So you can get, like, oh, man. Yeah, it's, I'm excited to get into it. And I just love games that have a lot of diversity and creativity.
I'm excited.
Tons of passion. To have somebody who just this late in the game got into Shenmue.
I'm excited.
Fucking nobody has.
You're one of, like, well, maybe not Shenmue 3 has been announced, but prior to that, you're probably one of, like, seven people in the world playing Shenmue right now.
Well, I think that it's still going to be like that, because it was really hard to find a ROM. There were no seeds for any of the torrents. I couldn't find a good working download for Shenmue, and getting a Dreamcast emulator required me to download, like, five fucking things to put them together and watch a tutorial on how to get it working. I mean, it's not your typical emulator setup. And even then, you can't full screen it. So, and that's like the best one. I'm just thinking, like, it runs really smooth, though.
I have a Dreamcast at my house.
But Shenmue copies are like $50 a piece.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Ooh. So I was really actually wanting to do that. I felt like getting a Dreamcast in those games would be cool. But
I forgot. People are really, not just for Shenmue, but people are right now, they're thinking, oh, well, this is an old game. I can really charge a lot of money for it.
Well, there's
a lot, Sega was smart. They'd give the license to somebody to make a collection, or like release it to Live Arcade or something.
I think there's rumors. That's what people expected. Actually, I remember if you go on the Shenmue subreddit, it's hilarious. Yu Suzuki posted on his Twitter like a picture of a forklift, and he said, "I'm in LA for E3," and people were like, "What the fuck?" And then people are like, oh, it's probably a Shenmue collection or something. And everybody's like, well, there's no way I'm getting my hopes up. Everybody's just like, like, I've been burned too many times. And nobody thought that it was going to be Shenmue 3. They just were like, oh, it's some new Yu Suzuki project or a HD pack. But there's still that rumor going around that they're going to do that before Shenmue 3 releases. But, like, what console? Like, it was designed for the Dreamcast. How many didn't they port some Dreamcast games like Crazy Taxi over to like the 360?
Yeah, they did.
There was like a Dreamcast collection.
And they didn't bring fucking Shenmue?
No.
God damn. That game would
Is interesting because Shenmue 2 came out on Xbox. It was only on Xbox.
No, it was on Dreamcast.
No, but I mean as far as that generation. It was like one of the games like plastered on the front. It was only on Xbox and you know, you could
I heard that the Dreamcast version of 2 came so late in the game for the U.S. that it was,
I don't think that Shenmue 2 ever came out in the U.S.
Well,
Dreamcast.
It has an English version that I'm playing with the dub, and it's Dreamcast.
And I don't know if it was ever I don't know if it was ever actually released in North America, though. I mean, it could have
That, but, like, I see copies of it and stuff on eBay.
I'm pretty sure it was import only in the U.S.
Shenmue 2 Dreamcast. Let's see. Yeah, they got it. I think Japan... What's this? Is this... Let's see. ESRB. It's not a good sign. Nope. That's it. That's English. Shenmue 2 Dreamcast.
So, yeah. So, Dreamcast. Japan and Europe. It was released on...
Europe.
So that's the version that you're playing, probably is the European version.
Oh, wait. The one I'm looking at is Japanese. Okay. Well, I'm glad they released the European version, because I would not want to get a fucking Xbox emulator going at the same time. So it's like, even for people who want to go back, it's so hard. It's like, finding a copy is hard. It's not available.
Have you ever considered at any point buying one of those consoles that's specifically intended for retro games? Like, there's this one console that can play 64, Super Nintendo, Sega.
The Retrons? Well, with it, I mean, with those, it's, you can just play emulators. Yeah. Cartridge games are so easy to find emulators and working ROMs that it's just not really, in my opinion, worth getting that and then also having to buy the cartridges. But, you know, they're cool for if you already have the games and stuff.
Yeah, there was that one Neo Geo console collection thing. That was pretty cool, but, like, you know, you can emulate all this stuff, so... there are always things that I look at and think, ooh, and then I'm like, oh, wait, I don't need that at all.
I guess I could understand for... Well, maybe not for... Neo Geo games, sometimes it's harder to find working ROMs, I can tell you from personal experience.
The best part, though, about Shenmue is all the needless bullshit in the game.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny. You can go into first person. There's like a, you walk around and you can, you know, run. It's got like tank controls like an adventure game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you hold down the right trigger and it like zooms in first person. And you like kind of auto focus on like whatever is of interest in the room. And so it's like if there's a picture frame on the wall, he'll like zoom into the picture frame and a caption will appear and he'll like read the Japanese text on it or something. But you can like hit A and he'll pick it up in first person and like look at the wall like real close and then they'll put it back. And so it's like, you know, I was thinking like, oh, maybe there's like a hidden safe behind one of these paintings or something.
No,
I
went through just the wall.
Yeah, you just look
there's at like 30 paintings in your house at the start of the game and I fucking lifted up all of them and it's like rah! Like you lift it and the way how quickly he zooms is almost like aha, and it's like oh nothing. There's no point to any of it.
Yeah.
You can pick up all sorts of stuff. Just pick it up and just like, oh, frying pan. Putting it down now. But it's like for back then, they were just like, I couldn't imagine being in 1998 and being able to walk through a kitchen, going first person and picking up a frying pan. Like that, I would flip my shit. Like that's crazy.
It was unheard of.
Not only is yeah, it's like that's fucking real life. Whoa. Like at that time you were the best graphics you had were Metal Gear Solid 1 and Tomb Raider. Like that was the hot releases of 1998. If you compare the visuals, Shenmue was
99.
Was it 99?
Tomb Raider was in 99 though.
No, Shenmue was.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I thought Tomb Raider and Shenmue were the same year.
Not Tomb Raider 1. Tomb Raider what was it? Tomb Raider I think 3 was.
Really? Yeah.
But Super Smash Brothers, same year for 64.
I remember that. I thought it was so cool you get to fight Mario with Link. I was so excited with that.
So I'm excited for you to beat it.
I'm excited for you.
Just play it. Just play more of it.
I think I'll beat it. I honestly do. It's one of those games you can't not beat it because I already find the story intriguing as a whole. Like, I see little snippets of, like, where they're going with that Chinese girl who's, like, mysterious and all over the packaging. But apparently they don't even introduce her until the end of the second game or something, or the halfway point. Like, yet she's, like, the main mascot of the series. She's going to be a big deal in 3. People are like, oh, now we're going to figure out who the fuck she, like, really is. Is that true? Or
who?
The Shenhua or the...
Oh, the girl?
Yeah
she's... If I remember correctly, she was very... Very, like, just a mystery. Like, she doesn't even get introduced till really late on in, like, the second game, I think.
And you already see her, like, on a bag of chips in the mini-mart. I'm walking in, and I pick up a bag of chips, and it's just like, she's on the bag of chips. Like, what the fuck? And then, like, I pick up, like, they have the cassette tape so you can listen to, like, the soundtrack. And, like, the first one you get is with her on it, and it's called Shenhua. I'm like, yeah, like, her song. I'm like, oh. And then I read later that you don't even see her in the first game. I'm like, oh.
Weird.
Oh,
weird.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And so it's kind of like Metal Gear where I'm going to get into it. And, you know, even though it's old, like, I'm like, the rails ain't stopping. I'm going to beat it.
I'm going to beat it.
Beat it.
Well, that's all I had to talk about. Did you guys have some...
Well, other than the fact that I'm looking at another Dirt Rally video and it looks great. It really does look cool.
It's really good. I love it so far. I can't wait for the full game to come out.
You should check out the new Persona trailer, though, just for the music alone.
Yeah.
I should, and I will.
Right now.
Phil, Johnny wants you to play Persona 4.
And 3.
Is it on a PlayStation Network?
Yes. They're $10 a piece, digital download as classics for PS2. Speaking of which, Suikoden 3 or Suikoden 3 just released this week on the PS2 as a classic. They've been kicking ass.
PS3, you mean?
PS3 as a PS2 classic.
Mm.
They've been kicking
that game
ass.
Looks
with
really pretty. I saw a screenshot for it today.
Suikoden 3?
Yeah.
Is actually horrendously ugly.
Oh, wow.
But the opening.
I saw, like, actual live gameplay, like them, like, in a. Looked like a turn-based like battle, and I thought it looked really good.
Combat system looked pretty good. It was like 2003, and it was kind of that sweet spot of minimal 3D graphics, but like old school design.
Yeah,
and it works, but not as well as this second game did. Because it switched from 2D to 3D.
Maybe I saw Suikoden 2. Maybe that's what I saw. Because I thought the one I'm thinking of was 2D.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Oh, it is 2. This is actually the picture I saw, right?
2 is considered to be one of the best games of all time. I beat the first one, which looks basically the same. And then I beat the second one.
That was weird.
I got like 80% of the way through
this. I found the literal picture I was looking at earlier today. Immediately. What was that one?
Yeah, 3 switched to 3D graphics, and it was dodgy, but the game was still, like, excellent. But, man, Sony's been kicking ass. They don't have that many games from the PS2 on their library, because they're really hard to translate to PS3 hardware. Like, they have to go back through the whole game and just recode a whole bunch of... it's a mess, apparently. That's why they can't get them on the PS4 easily.
Uh-huh.
But what they have chosen has been so good. Like, all the games that... everybody is that are like relevant now, like all the old Shin Megami Tensei games, Persona games that they didn't print enough copies of, that are like hot RPGs that are rare. Like, they're not putting out games that are common at all for the PS2. They're just putting out the rare, expensive games that everyone wanted to play, that was interested and couldn't. And so I bought like 8 PS2 games on their store, and I already owned the rest, and I'm just like, this is amazing.
This is for PlayStation 4?
Three,
okay.
If I hadn't owned any of the PS2 games, like most, like 80% of their library is just like excellent picks. And they just threw in another one. That Suikoden 3 is like a $30, $40 game. Suikoden 2 is a $280 game. It's considered to be one of the best games of all
time.
How
much is Suikoden 1?
Not as much. It's like $28.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was thinking I got a copy somewhere in my house. Dad played it.
Now, and on the store, the PlayStation store, all the PS2 games are $10. Whereas I remember going to GameStop not like a couple years ago and like, ooh, Digital Devil Saga. One, like, every Shin Megami Tensei game was at least $30 to $40 at GameStop, and now they're $10 a piece on this store. And Suikoden 2 is considered one of the best games of all time, and you couldn't get a copy for it unless it was on eBay for over $200.
Jeez.
And you'd see it on like top 10 lists of like most underrated games ever, and they're like, yo, this has got the best story. You're going to cry. You're going to spend $280. So it's like the only people that ever played it were the people who got it in the store when it was brand new.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Earthbound. If they released Earthbound and never re-released it at all in any way, it's like, oh, well, if you want to play it, it's $180. Masterpiece, but...
Well.
Been a lot of talk about this episode.
I told you we'd squeeze in... we'd get a little cast there.
So I think that's it, guys. We we'll reconvene next. Hopefully by next week. There's a patch for Batman, so I can just enjoy it, not have to worry. But thank you everybody for listening. Phil, it's good to have you back.
Always a pleasure.
Jack, if you're out there, if you're listening, make sure to fact check all of Johnny's things he said.
We expect a report.
Yeah, I need a written report on my desk Monday. Thanks for listening, everybody. Like us on Facebook if you can. We would appreciate it, and it would also be a good opportunity for us to give you updates with anything that's going on. Maybe do like a giveaway of some sort if we have more than just people that we know, just our friends and stuff. So if you can, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/pixelchickenpodcast. Follow us on Twitter. That's at @pixel_chicken. Send us your emails at pixelchickenpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to ask us anything, our opinions on certain games, if you want us to talk about something specific, just let us know. Or send Phil your dick pics.
Dick pic. We've kept the dick pic joke going strong for like 8 weeks in a row.
We're going to keep it going.
That's the one piece of fan mail that we get the most. Are like, dude, the dick pic killer.
Yeah. At this point, I'm you know, I'll settle for that. So, yeah. And Phil would enjoy it. So thank you, everybody, and we will see you next week. Phil, let's hear a noise.
All right. Bye. There you go. Bye, everybody.
That was the noise.
Phil fucked us.